إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخواتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته still on منهج السالكين by الشيخ عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله تعالى The Sheikh says, وَأَنْ يَتَقَدَّمَ أَخُطْبَتَانِ The khutbah should precede Salatul Jumu'ah and the khutbah should be two. The first one being the khutbah that will be separated by a sitting. Then the second one will come after that. And that was why he mentioned khutbatan. وَأَنْ يَتَقَدَّمَ أَخُطْبَتَانِ The Salatul Jumu'ah should be preceded by two khutbah. And this is in line with the hadith of Jabir bin Samurah radiallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كانت للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خطبتان يجلس بينهما Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to deliver two khutbah and he would sit in between the two khutbah. He said يقرأ القرآن He will recite the Quran ويذكر الناس and he will remind the people. So as we said last week that the khutbah can be in other languages but it is preferred that is delivered in Arabic or part of it in Arabic then translated so that the people can understand the message because that is the purpose of the khutbah so that the people can benefit so if we look at what Jabir bin Samurah radiallahu anhu said he said يَقْرَوْ الْقُرْآنِ he will recite the Quran وَيُذَكِّرُ النَّاسِ he will remind the people so it is clear from that hadith that the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would use the Quran or verses of the Quran to remind the people and that's why scholars who tell us it is not part of the khutbah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for an imam to mount the minbar and start discussing politics since that people who are seated maybe some of them are more current than you what they need is the Quran you enlighten them on what they will do not that you get them busy with things that are not relevant with the Akhirah one of the female companions in person of Ummu Isham radiallahu anha said she memorized Surah Al-Qaf from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he will recite it a lot on the minbar during khutbah. That is, he will deliver a sermon with the Quran. So he would remind them of the verses of the Quran. And that was why Jabir radiallahu anhu said that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam yaqra'u al-Quran yudhakkiru an-nas. He will recite the Quran, he will remind the people. So we have two khutbah, as we have it in the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu. The Messenger of Allah will deliver two khutbah and he will sit in between. According to most scholars, the two khutbah is condition. It's condition. Huh? But sitting between them, is it compulsory to sit in between? Is it compulsory to sit between the two khutbah? So most scholars say it is sunnah to sit between the two khutbah. But it's two khutbah put together, they are what? They are compulsory with respect to the Salatul Jumu'ah. They are conditions for the validity of Salatul Jumu'ah. That is, no khutbah, no Salatul Jumu'ah. If the Imam does not deliver khutbah, that means there is no Salatul Jumu'ah, according to most scholars. But should it be separated and the Imam sits? So this, according to most scholars, is sunnah to do that. It's sunnah to do that. So Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, this is also a kind of condition for the khutbah. But the most important thing is that the practice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that he would deliver two khutbah, he would sit in between, and he will use the Quran to educate and admonish the people. This was the practice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as said by Jabir bin Samra radiallahu anhu. So the Shaykh says, وَأَنْ جَابِرْ قَالَ كَانَ الْمُسْلَمِ إِذَا خَطَّ وَحِمَرَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ. Jabir bin Samra radiallahu anhu said, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا خَطَّبَ, whenever he delivered the khutbah, إِحْمَرَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ, his two eyes were ready. وَعَلَى صَوْتُهُ, his voice will be raised. وَاشْتَدَّ غَضَبُ, he will be angry. حَتَّى كَأَنَّهُ مُنْذِرُ جَيْشٍ, as if he was warning an army. يَقُولُ صَبَّحَكُمْ وَمَسَّاكُمْ. The way he will raise his voice, warning the army that you people could be attacked. وَيَقُولُ أَمَّا بَعْدِ, he will say, فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الْحَدِيثِ, the best of the speech is Kitabullah, the Book of Allah. وَخَيْرَ الْعَدِي, the best guidance, عَدْيُ مُحَمَّدٍ, is the guidance of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. وشر الأمور, the worst of the matters, محدثاتها, are the newly introduced ones. وكل بدعة ضلالة, and every innovation is misguidance. رواه مسلم, الإمام مسلم reported this. وفي لفظ لا, in one of the words of Al-Imam Muslim, كانت خطبة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم الجمعة, the khutbah of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم on Friday would be يحمد الله, he would praise Allah ويثني عليه, and he would also elogize him. ثم يقول, then he would say, على إثر ذلك, after that, وَقَدْ عَلَى صَوْتُهُ, why his voice had been raised. وفي رواية له in a report, من يهدي الله, whoever Allah guides, فلا مضل له, there is nobody that can mislead him, ومن يضلل, and whoever he has misled, فلا هادي له, there is nobody that can guide him. قال, he also said, إن طول صلاة الرجل وَكِثَرَ خُطْبَةِ مَئِنَّةُ مِنْ فِقْهِ. For the salah of a man to be lengthy and for his khutbah to be brief, مَئِنَّةُ مِنْ فِقْهِ, this is a sign of his understanding. So the practice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that he would do إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ لِلَّهِ نَحْمَدُهُ وَنَسْتَعِينُهُ, that we know to be khutbatul hajah. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will recite that, and as I said, what yahmadullah wa yusni alayhi, yahmadullah wa yusni alayhi. So he would do this. This is called khutbatul hajah. So most of the time, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would commence his talk with khutbatul hajah. If one does not commence one stop with that, that doesn't mean one has done bid'ah. But at least you have to do alhamdulillah, and you also for Allah's blessing upon the noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the best thing you can do is for you to do the khutbatul hajah. That's the best you can do. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will do this a lot. So he will do it just as he would do it whenever they were holding a kind of nikah, when they want to tie the marriage knot, he will say that. Likewise, in most of the things, he will start with it. So this is the reason we call it what, khutbatu al-haja. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do this. So most of the scholars, they are of the opinion that you have to do this alhamdulillah, that is alhamdulillah, you do salah on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your khutbah. So most of the scholars, they take this, particularly al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahmahullah ta'ala, that it must be in your khutbah. Your khutbah must contain this. Likewise, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that kullu kalamin laysa fihi tashahud, aw kullu khutbatin laysa fiha tashahudin tashahudun fahiya kal yadil jazma. Any khutbah laysa fiha tashahudun, that doesn't contain tashahud, something like this, something like what, khutbatul haja. Any khutbah that you do and does not contain something of testifying that there is no deity worthy of worship and that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the Messenger of Allah, any khutbah that doesn't contain that is like a hand that has been cut off. Kaliyabi al-jazma, it's like a hand that has been cut off. So, and that's why you endeavor to include this whenever you are doing the khutbah. So once you do the khutbatul haja, as done by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have fulfilled this aspect. Then your khutbah should be verses of the Quran, a hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Majorly, you educate the people and admonish them with it. You interpret for them so that they can learn. For busying yourself narrating what is going on in the Middle East and the likes, or what is going on in America, what Trump has done and things like this, it's not something that an imam should busy himself with. If you want to teach people that, it should be what? Another platform. But on the khutbah of Jummah, teach people what they really need. Teach them Tawheed. And this is what is missing today. people are less concerned about Tawheed. And that's why we sympathize with those that you are not supposed to watch. Sympathize with. Because the Tawheed is not learned by a lot of people. If you understand Tawheed, you know how to even talk about the American or the Iranian, whatever. But Tawheed is missing. So somebody just narrates stories which an Emeka working for Punch or somebody working in CNN or BBC can also do. So this person is very current in Middle East, whatever. And after that, what is the Islamic ruling on what is happening? This is confusion, everybody to know. But you don't know that, you just know what is happening. How are you to relate with what is happening? You don't know. So if an imam is going to talk about this, he must talk about it from the Islamic angle. From the Islamic angle, not just narrating a story and jeering the people the way we see it today. So you have to teach people how they can understand Tawheed, how to improve in Tawheed, how they go away from shirk, how they shun bid'ah, how they practice sunnah. This should be done in the khutbah. Not just jeering people and what is going on around them. So this is the khutbah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he will admonish the people using the verses of the Quran. He will do tashahud, as you have said, and he will supplicate for the people in a brief way, not the lengthy one that some a'imma would do today. Then part of his way is that the khutbah would be brief. Why the salah would be lengthy? Not that the salah would be lengthier than the khutbah. Not that it would be lengthier than the khutbah. But in comparison, you say, okay, this is what the brief talk. And this salah is what is prolonged. The salah is prolonged when you look at it. The khutbah is brief when you look at it. Not that the khutbah should be shorter than the salah. That is not what is being said. But generally speaking, you say this khutbah is not lengthy. Or you say you thought this salah is a bit lengthy. So for a man to do that, is a sign that he understands the deen. And the Prophet has said, "Man yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fi din." Whoever Allah wants good for, yufaqihu fi din. It gives him understanding of the deen. So one of the good things Allah does for a man is for the man to have the understanding of the deen. It's for the man to have understanding of the deen. So the khutbah should not be that lengthy. Using about an hour plus or an hour for khutbah may be considered too lengthy. Maybe 30 minutes, 20 minutes, less than that at times. Less than that at times. So if an imam delivers a khutbah of 10 minutes, or even 5 minutes, the message is what matters. The message is what matters. Not that the khutbah must be lengthy. But today, there are some things that make our khutbah to be lengthy. Maybe you are addressing a mixed audience in that some do not understand a particular language. So you have to look for what the language that some will understand or most people understand, though there are some people who do not understand the language as well. So if you take this, maybe the khutbah going to about 35 minutes is okay. Maybe maximally 40 minutes, everything together. Because spending 15 minutes for khutbah is enough, or 20 minutes. And that's why if you look at the khutbah in the haram, in the two haram, their khutbah is just maybe 20 minutes like that. Though they won't interpret it, just deliver it in Arabic. But let's assume you want to interpret yours. Everything shouldn't be more than 40 minutes. I wonder what it would be considered a bit lengthy. And you discuss what people really need. In the recent time, when I talk about, when I deliver khutbah, I concentrate more on some things that the people will need. Like talking about the job, salah, and things like that. How to pray. Because some people, the halqa that some of us are coming to, they don't have the time. But they know it's compulsory on them to observe salah to Jummah. So use that opportunity to teach them what they need to know at the halqa. Rather than watch what is happening in America, US has done this, Saudi Arabia. Some of them, they are more informed about that than you. But when it comes to the religious affairs, they are zero or close to zero. Wallahi, something that is disheartening. I've seen a lot of people comment on issues. And you see them doing that with zeal. Some will be angry when they are commenting on what is happening around the group. But their comment is not in line with the teachings of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And some of these people, they are elderly people, people above 16 and the likes. You see, they argue. At times I will have to come in that, no, these things that you have said, to look at it from the Islamic angle, this is what Allah says, this is what the Messenger of Allah says. So some of them will calm down and they hear that. But that doesn't mean that another time they will still go back to that. Because this is the way they've been brought up. When you read newspaper, you watch CNN, BBC. So we have been trained, we have been charged, and we have been trained to comment on issues. But if you want to comment on issues, you have to learn how to comment on issues. You have to look at it from the Islamic angle. In my university day, I had a colleague, so to say, or a mate, though in another department studying philosophy, but we are in the same level. Whenever we are discussing issue, he will want to look at issue from the philosophical angle. So I will not keep bringing what? Ahadith and things. Substance of getting. Don't let us look at this matter from that angle. So why should we leave? You say you are a Muslim. I'm a Muslim. Which angle should we look at it? You want to look at it from philosophical angle. They will be quoting what all these philosophers that are mulhidun, what they've said. Because you believe that is your own field, that is your line, your area. So that's not okay. So these are things that you ought to correct. Whenever you want to talk or comment on an issue, the first thing is, what has Allah said on this matter? What has the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said on this matter? That is the only way the Muslims can attain success. So things are happening around the world and we comment on them differently. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will concentrate on issue of tawheed. On issue of tawheed. So this is what is expected of the Imam of the mosque. Even if they are going to bring in some historical facts or bring in some happenings which are necessary at times, they must be able to provide solutions to those things based on what? On the Islamic teachings. Not based on what I feel, I think. So this is important. Despite all this, it must not be too lengthy. It must be brief. Because the Messenger of Allah said, إِنَّ طُولَ صَلَاتِ الرَّجُلِ وَقِصَرَ خُطْبَتِهِ مَإِنَّةٌ مِنْ فِقْهِهِ. For the salah to be relatively lengthy and the khutbah to be what? Relatively short is what? Is a sign that he has understanding of the deen. So you take it gradually, you address people topic by topic. Maybe the issue of Tawheed, for instance, the aspect of Tawheed Uluhiyya, you take it gradually. Maybe today you talk about the issue of Kihana, tomorrow you talk about the issue of Tatayyur, like that. These are topics that you cannot exhaust. When you take them one, with this, you have people who are praying Salatul Juma, and they are going out of the mosque while they have been watching, enlightened. That's why the fact that they will not go to halakot. So the Juma itself, the khutbah, should be used as halqa of aqidah, halqa of what? Of fiqh. Even that, we encourage some of them to be looking for places where they can hear more of this. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will use this opportunity to address the people. وَيُسْتَحَبُّ أَنْ يَخْتُبَ عَلَى مِنْبَرٍ. It is mustahab that the khatib addresses the people on the minbar. فَإِذَا صَعِدَ أَقْبَلَ لَلنَّاسِ فَصَلَّمَ عَلَيْهِمْ. If he mounts the minbar, he will turn to the people, he will make taslim to them, ثم يجلس, then he will sit, ويؤذن المؤذن, and the muadhin will call to prayer. ثم يقوم فيخطب. After that, he will get up, he will rise and deliver the khutbah. ثم يجلس, he will sit, ثم يخطب الخطبة الثانية, then he will deliver the second khutbah. ثم تقام الصلاة. After that, the salah will be established. فيصلي بهم ركعتين. He would observe two rakah. So when we look at what the author has said, he has described how this will be done. For us to have a minbar is good. The minbar of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be three steps. So he would stay on the third one, on the third step. So he would deliver the khutbah. So it is recommended that the minbar is of three steps too. The first step, second step, and the third step, where the imam will stand to deliver the khutbah. So when the imam is climbing the minbar, so after he has climbed it, he will give taslim to the people. If he gives taslim to the people, the muazzin will get up to call the azan. The muazzin will rise to call the azan. When the muazzin calls the azan, it is preferred that the people respond to the azan, not that they engage in what? In discussion. However, if the people are discussing why the adhan is on, it's not haram. And that's why it was established, as Al-Imam Malik rahmahullah ta'ala recorded in Mu'atta, that when Umar gives the slip and the adhan was being made, when Umar gives the slip, the adhan was being made, the people will be discussing. It shows it's not haram. Why it will be haram, Umar would have stopped them. But what is preferred is that the people respond to the muadhin, based on what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا سَمِعْتُمُ الْمُعَذِّنَ فَقُولُوا مِثْلَ مَا يَقُولُ. When you hear the Mu'adhin calling Adhan, say exactly what he says. So in another hadith, it says when the Mu'adhin said, Hayya ala salah, he said, what? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You see that you say that, or you say Hayya ala salah, the way I said. The same thing, Hayya ala falah. So that you say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, or Hayya ala falah, the way I said it. So it is better to respond. But if one does not respond, the person is talking, Islamically is not wrong. It's not a must that the Mu'adhin is responded to when he's making Adhan. However, when the Imam starts khutbah, one should not talk to any other person. And that's why it is said that watch Qawl al-Khatib, the statement of the Khatib, يَقْطَعُ كُلَّ كَلَامٍ, prevents every other talk. Because listening to the khutbah is compulsion. Listening to the khutbah is compulsion. We said earlier that the khutbah is one of the conditions of what? Of Salatul Jumu'ah. Because ordinarily we are supposed to observe Salatul Zuhr 4 rakah. But the Salah was reduced to what? 2 rakah. So the khutbah, it's like the khutbah is taking, the two khutbah, so to say, taking the place of the 2 rakah. However, this is what is with respect to the Salah as a whole. Not that if I do not meet the khutbah, that means I do not have Salatul Jumu'ah. No. If you miss the khutbah, you have Salatul Jumu'ah if you pray the 2 rakah together with the Imam, according to majority of the scholars. So those who say if you miss the khutbah, you have no Salah, so their position is not strong. And this is what minority's position. The view of the majority is that even if you miss the khutbah, as long as you meet the Salah, you have Salatul Jumu'ah, though you have lost a lot of reward, because the angels will be writing as people are coming to Jumu'ah. The one who comes at the first hour is like the one who has done sadaqa with a camel. Second hour, like the one who has done sadaqa with a cow. The third one, like somebody who has done what sadaqa with a sheep. Fourth, the one who has done sadaqa with an hen. Fifth, the one who has done sadaqa with an egg. And after that, the angels will fold their books and they will be listening to what? To the khutbah when Imam comes out. So one has lost some rewards by coming late. However, one still has salah. One has salah. But generally speaking, that khutbah is attached to the salah. So they will say what? It is a condition for the salah, according to most scholars. So when the khutbah is on, you are supposed to listen. And that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Idha qulta li sahibika wal imam yaqtub sa faqallagawt." When you tell the one who is beside you why the khutbah is on, keep quiet, because the person is making noise. So you tell the person, keep quiet, faqallagawt. You have also committed a blunder. So you should not talk to somebody beside you. It is the imam that can talk to people, and you can also talk to the imam. But the one beside you, you cannot. You shouldn't. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one hadith, فَمَنْ لَغَى فَلَا جُمْعَةَ لَهُ. The one who does lagu, that is, says things that is not supposed to say, as we have said, فَلَا جُمْعَةَ لَهُ. He has no reward of Jumu'ah. They said it will be written for him as Salatul Zuhr. The reward those people who perform Jumu'ah will have, he will have such a reward. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will do that. He will mount the minbar, he will make taslim, and the Mu'adhin will call to prayer. After that, he will address the people. Brief talk, quoting verses of the Quran, explaining to them, to the extent that a female companion, Ummu Hisham, radiallahu anha, says she memorized Surah Al-Qaf from the mouth of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he will use it most of the time to deliver khutbah. So he will sit first. It is after the Muazzin had finished the Adhan that he will get up. Then he will deliver the first khutbah, he will sit in between. As Jabir radiallahu anhu said that Messenger of Allah كانت khutbatuhu, that is the khutbah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is what he will deliver كانت له khutbatan yajlis baynahuma, he will sit in between. يقرأ القرآن ويذكر الناس. He will recite the Quran, he will admonish the people. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will sit in between the two khutbah. What would he say? So there is no clear evidence that is authentic that says if he sits, this is what he will be doing. So and that's why some scholars, they have the opinion that if the Imam sits, one can seize that opportunity to do supplication. Because of the hadith that there is a time on the day of Jumu'ah that a servant will not be fortunate with that time asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala something except that Allah gives him. Allah accepts his prayer. So it was said as contained in Sahih Muslim that is what bayna an yajlis al imam, between the sitting of the imam ila an tuqam as-salah, and watch to the time that the salah will be established. So people will seize the opportunity to watch, to say they are supplicating something. But there is no clear text that says in between the two khutbah, people should supplicate. No authentic text that says that. But based on that hadith, so some scholars will say that. Ash-Shaykh bin Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, some others. However, that hadith said to be shad, according to some scholars, like Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, they said the time is between Salatul Asri and what? Salatul Maghrib. However, some they try to reconcile between the two that it is possible that time is also included. So that shouldn't be a big issue. Allahu Akbar. So the khutbah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will go that way. And after he has delivered the khutbah, you observe the salah. And the salah will be a bit lengthy. When we say a bit lengthy, look at what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will recite most of the time. If you say Bismi Rabbika al-A'la, and what al-Attaq hadithu al-Ghashiyah, you will recite that. Meaning not too lengthy. So, but generally speaking, you say what is lengthy, not something that you will recite what short surah, but at times just a bit lengthy. So as a Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will do, and the khutbah will be relatively brief and short. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us. So this is the way the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do it. So وَبَعْضُ تُرَكَ يَجْهَرُ فِي إِمَامِ الْقِرَاءَةِ يَقْرَأُ فِي الْأُولَى بِسَبْلِ وَفِي الثَّانِيَةِ بِالْغَاشِيَةِ أَوْ بِالْجُمْعَةِ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ. At times he will say Surat al-Jum'ah, and at times he will say Surat al-Munafiqeen. So Surat al-Jum'ah, Surat al-Munafiqeen, they are not that lengthy as well. So most of the time you alternate between Sabi plus Al-Ghashia Juma and Munafiqun. So when it says Salah is lengthy, not that you write 6 Surah Al-Baqarah like that, no. Not that it will be too lengthy. And when you say the khutbah will be brief, know that it will be very brief. So, as I've said, somebody delivers khutbah 10 minutes, it may be okay, 15 minutes. I've seen somebody who delivers khutbah just 5 minutes, though not a Nigerian, just deliver 5 minutes and the service salah. Some of the madhab, they said, even if one says what? something of Alhamdulillah and you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I say, watch, Akimu Salah. So, but that may be enough. But this position is not correct. In that the practice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself is what? يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ وَيُذَكِّرُ النَّاسِ. He will recite the Quran and he will admonish the people. So there must be something of admonition in the khutbah. There must be something of admonition. So for you to just sing Alhamdulillah, نَحْمَدُهُ وَنَسْتَعِينُهُ and say what? أَكِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. That may not be okay. Huh? Just one try to admonish the people. إن شاء الله واستغفر وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك
الحمد لله
والصلاة
والسلام على رسول الله
وعلى آله
وصحبه ومن والاه. The first question here is, what is the meaning of ilhad?
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. The meaning of ilhad is for one to turn away from something. So those who turn away from the truth, to the extent that they enter kufru, they are called what? Mulhidun. They are called mulhidun. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُؤُوا بِهَا وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ عَنْ أَسْمَائِهِ. Allah are the most beautiful names. Call Him by those names. Leave those who يُلْحِدُونَ عَنْ أَسْمَائِهِ. Those who practice ilhaj as far as what His names are concerned. These are people who are turning the meaning of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe changing the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, coining names for idols from the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as some people be coined from Al-Aziz, Al-Uzza, for their own idol. From Al-Aziz they call, they coined Al-Uzza. So this is what ilhad. Or those who are interpreting the meaning in such a way that agrees with their whims and caprices, like the Jahmiyyah and the likes. All these are what ilhad. Or those who are opposing the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All this falls under what ilhad. So when they say somebody is a mulhid, for instance, so this is something similar to say somebody is what? It's a zindiq. Or a munafiq. Huh? So at times. So wallahu
a'lam. Now can you please explain on how to determine the first hour on arrival of the mosque for Jumu'ah? And having now been after Jumu'ah prayer, is this
permissible? Now to determine the first hour, some scholars or most scholars are of the opinion that it starts after the time of what the sunrise. So you go after the sunrise, as we have talked about when to pray Salat to Duha and when it starts. So most scholars are of the opinion that it starts at that time, and we count it like that: first hour, second hour, third hour, fourth hour, fifth hour. So if you count like that, it will be ending at what? Close to the time that we normally observe our Salah. Correct? You know, around one, the khutbah, people start the khutbah. So if you take from 7 like that, 7, maybe from 7 a.m., you count 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, to be close to that. So it's normal time like that. However, Imam Malik rahmahullah ta'ala tried to package everything in just few minutes. Everything not up to an hour. That is like somebody who goes out around 11:30 to 12. That will be the first hour. And maybe after a while again the second, after a while again. So meaning if you want to go by what the Imam says, you can go around to 12 or past 11 or 11:30 thereabout, and you'll be among those who have watched, who have gone at the first hour. The hour there is not our normal hour, according to him. But the other people, it's like what they are talking about, our normal hour. So what the most important thing is, if you go early and you get to the mosque, you are observing Nawafil, Nawafil, you recite the Quran, till the Imam comes, look at the reward you are going to get. However, if there is responsibility that you ought to do, so you weigh between the reward of what and your responsibility. At times, somebody who is taking care of his responsibility may get more rewards than the one who goes to the masjid to sit there reciting the Quran and living his responsibility. So, from our responsibilities, taking care of them, we get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we do it with the intention of moving closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that even what you put in the mouth of your wife, that is feeding your wife, you get reward for it. If you do it sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah.
Can we make gestures when the khutbah is going on? For example, someone is talking and they are using gestures to make him keep quiet. And the second one is, if the Imam is giving the khutbah in two languages, the first language serve as the khutbah? And the second one is translation of the second khutbah. I did the same person that he did.
The first question? Nam Jetcho, that doesn't mean anything. It does not translate into you talking, because you do not talk. So what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said is a kulta li sahibik, when you tell the person close to you. So you didn't talk, you only Jetcho. So there's nothing wrong in that. So as for the khutbah being delivered in two languages, there is no harm. Though I mentioned last week that majority of the scholars are of the opinion that the khutbah should be delivered in what? In Arabic. However, Abu Hanifa and a lot of scholars today, so they are of the opinion that the khutbah can be delivered in the language that people understand. But it is good that the verses of the Quran that you want to use the hadith are recited in Arabic, then translated. But if one does not know how to translate the read the hadith in Arabic, you only know the English of the hadith, so you recite it, you read it, and what you explain to the people, no harm. The major benefit derivable from the khutbah is to educate, enlighten, and to admonish the people. So this is achieved, Allah. So those scholars who say you should use Arabic, so like the Hanabila, for instance, of the opinion that Arabic is compulsory for the one who has the ability to speak Arabic. So we don't have the ability to deliver in Arabic. So you have to teach the people what to know. So I mentioned it the other time that even with respect to saying what in nikah, that ankatuka as a washtuka, this is meant for those who can speak Arabic. If you can't speak Arabic, speak the language that the person that you are marrying your daughter to know. Huh? But scholars who have said you should use Arabic is because they don't want the Arabic to go into extinction. So that's why they emphasize. And you can speak Arabic. Why not speak Arabic? You can speak Arabic. The other person can also understand Arabic. Speak the language of the Quran. This is the answer they are looking at it. But now the reality is that this person does not understand Arabic. Eh? The father doesn't understand the one that wants to marry the child, the lady too, does not understand. So the language that both of them understand should be spoken. So the same thing can be said of the khutbah of Jummah. So and that's why the majami fiqhiyya, they are of the opinion that other languages can be used for the people to understand. So this is the position of the majami fiqhiyya Islami under Muslim World League, the position of Lashna Daima and many others. So, wallahu a'lam. One person, when you say khutbah is not done by two people, it's done by one person. The salah can be led by another person, according to majority of the scholars, contrary to some who said no. The one who is leading the khutbah must be the one who leads the salah. So this, I think, is the view of the Malikiyya. So, but apart from that, majority of the scholars are of the opinion that the one who is going to lead the khutbah can be different from the one that is going to lead the salah. Can be different from the one that is going to lead the salah. But for two people to do the khutbah, no, this is not okay. One person does the khutbah, another person may lead the salah. Some of the scholars said another person may lead the salah if there is what a need for it. Maybe the ablution of the imam gets initiated after the completion of the khutbah. Eh? Or maybe he has started leading the salah, his ablution gets initiated, he wants to go and renew his salah. Then another person comes in to continue the salah. So, but for us to say the sermon talk that is done, this wallahu alam is considered bid'ah. That if somebody would interpret or translate the khutbah of the imam, the khutbah that imam would deliver in what? In Arabic. Because the imam wants to follow the sunnah, he wants to deliver the khutbah in Arabic. But what is he going to do to the people who do not understand Arabic? So they say, okay, let us translate it before we must be the member. This is considered to be what part of what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade. Sheikh Abdul Muslim Abad Rahimahullah Ta'ala was asked, and this was his response, that we shouldn't do that. If at all you want to interpret it, you want to deliver your khutbah in Arabic, and you want it interpreted, this can be done after the salah. But after the salah, the people, it's not compulsory on them to wait for you anymore. So why not use part Arabic, part English, or the language that you see that most of the people seated understand most. So if you want to maintain the Arabic, you can do half of it Arabic, then the remaining half will be the translation of what you have said in Arabic. The same you doing the book of Allah.
Is it okay for an imam to be a means of influencing the Muslims thinking for the government? That is the mouthpiece of the government in manipulating the thoughts of the Muslims.
Well, the question is not clear. An imam being a mouthpiece of the government. Ordinarily, the one who is a preacher shouldn't be the mouthpiece of anybody except the preacher. He speaks what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded, what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has commanded. So you don't talk in order to favor the government, nor talk in order to favor the masses. This is one of the problems that a lot of du'at are having today. Some, they are scholars of government, they only speak in favor of the government, which is wrong. And some are scholars of the masses. They speak in favor of the masses. These two sets of scholars, they are evil scholars. And the one that is worse is the one that speaks in favor of the masses. It's worse. The one that speaks in favor of the government, the people easily detect him. They say, don't mind him. Because he's a scholar of government. But the one who is speaking in favor of the people is worse. It's worse. Because who will tell him that you are doing the wrong thing? The people that will tell him you are doing the wrong thing, they are the people that he's speaking for. So he will continue like that and they will continue to enjoy it. And this is the problem that has befallen the masses today. To see somebody who has deviated from the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah. But because what he's saying favors us, we watch, we're jumping up, we'll be praising him. Man, these are the real scholars. What type of real scholars? You people are doing things that are wrong and somebody is promoting you. You say these are the real scholars. But out of the government, you can easily detect him. He's speaking in favor of the government. But a true scholar must be somebody who is independent. If something that Islam says is against the government, he will not say things that will favor the government. But we have ways of correcting the government. This is what the scholars of the masses do not want to hear. This is what the masses themselves do not want to hear. You become loved by them when you attack the government. You abuse the government. They say, okay, this is outspoken. It speaks the truth. How do you know it speaks the truth? The truth is what is in the Quran and Sunnah. So any person that is now telling them not to revolt against the rulers, not to protest against the rulers, not to attack the rulers, they say, no. That person has watched. They are sold out. Even if the person does not know the way to Asurok, he doesn't know the way to Asurok, he has never met any minister one-on-one in his life. They just rubbish him straight away because he's saying things that they don't want to hear. But if the person is attacking the government, they see him as what? A good scholar, a good mala. So, and that's why it's dangerous. So Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen Rahimahullah Ta'ala said, the scholars, they are of three types. He said what? We have Alimul Milla and Alimul Ad-Dawla and Alimul An-Nas. So the scholar of the government, the scholar of the people, and the scholar of the deen. The Sheikh said, the one that is correct, that is upon the truth, is the scholar of the deen. Things that are against the government, if it's close to the government, tell them the blunt truth. What is the usefulness of somebody who is close to the government, is close to a president, is close to a governor, and when he meets him, only to take money from him, that is what he's after. He can't tell him that this is wrong. What is the benefit of that scholar? But it's not part of the sunnah for you to say, okay, you want to be attacking the government, this what our president, you see what our president has done, see what the governor has done. Wallahi, this is against the teachings of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But if you can't do that, they see you as somebody who has compromised. But the scholar of the masses is worse than this person, because nobody to correct him, to tell him what, you're on the wrong path. And these people, they push the masses until what, their government destroy them. The way we have it in what, Libya, Syria. Do you know how many $billions they need to repair Syria? To renovate Syria. Billions of dollars. And lives have been wasted. Where are those scholars? They've run away. Some in what? They will be the people that will be jeering the people, and when it happens, they just take board flights, America Street. The same people you are attacking are the people that you run to. You condemn America, condemn Britain, condemn France. And when you cause a problem and the people will be the blood is spilled, the lives of people are wasted. You and your children, you run to America, you run to Britain. And you are the same people that you are taking to America, the dead to America, this to America. Then the same America you run to. And that's why you have to be cautious. Wallahi, we pity a lot of people who do not understand what is happening. See some of the so-called brotherhood, Muslim brotherhood, here in Nigeria, they will be abusing Saudi Arabia. And when scholarship comes, they will send their children there again. They send their children go there to go and study there. They collect 1,800 riyal every month, about 30,000 naira pocket money. And you mean people are attacking the same government. So we should open our eyes. There are people that what they rejoice in just wasting our lives. And they won't wait for their own lives to be wasted. Once it happens, they run out of the country. You know how they do things like that. So somebody, when you look at protests, you will see his own children. His family won't be there. It is us that they will be using in order to achieve their own what selfish interests. So when I say the scholars of the people are worse, you can understand what I'm saying now. Are they worse or not?
Yeah.
They are worse. Scholars of government can be easily detected. Now. This one is scholar. Even when he's not scholar of government, they readily tag him as scholar of government. What if he is a scholar of government in truth? You know, his matter will be clear, very clear. It's not a scholar of government, they are already calling scholar of what? Government. What if you have evidences that he's getting money from them? So, the scholar of the people, so they continue to hail them and will continue to push them until what? They put them into fire and then you run away. So, Allah, subhanaka wa bihamdika, la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.